Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Daf Pei Beis, and we will begin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud, where the Gemara quotes where the Mishnah said, "Ochel oichlin she'enu ruin l'achila." If somebody ate on Yom Kippur foods that are not edible, he drank beverages that are not drinkable, he's potter. Amar Rava teaches us Rava, kath pilpili. If someone eats pepper beyond the Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, he's potter. Rav is not speaking of peppers that are a vegetable. He's speaking about peppers that are berries that are used for spice. And he says, since these foods are not normally eaten, pepper is not normally eaten, if someone would eat raw pepper on Yom Kippur, he would not be chayiv midaraisa. Similarly, kas zangbala, if somebody eats ginger on Yom Kippurim, potter. Meisvei asked the Gemara, "Hoy Rameya Omer, Rameya taught us, the Pasik teaches us regarding the din of Arla, that the Aloch is that the first 3 years, the fruit of a tree, are also to be eaten because they're Arla. And the Torah tells us, "V'chisavoyu al aretz," when you come to Yisrael, "v'netatem kol eitz machel," and you'll plant fruit trees. "V'araltem arlosoy es parayoy," you should not use those fruits. "Shaloy shonim yilachem areilim," for 3 years, those fruits should be arlo lo yochel, they may not be eaten. So the question in learning the pasuk is, "V'mashmashanem," if the pasuk teaches us, "V'araltem arlosoy es parayoy," the fruit is orl, it's forbidden. Any adesh it's machalu. Obviously, the fruit is being grown on a tree that gives off food. Ma tamaloy me it's machal. Why did the Torah have to describe and include the words it's machal? To teach us, eitz, if you have a tree, shetam eitzoy v'tam uperioy shava, with a tree whose wood and fruit are equal in taste, they will have the halacha that the Arla applies to it. What type of a tree is that? Have a Omer Zapilpulin, to teach us that that's referring to this pepper tree. Lalam Dechan, to teach us Shapilpulin Chayovim Barla, the pilpul is Chay Barla. So we see that pilpul is a food. How could Rava say that it's potter? But continues the Gemara in concluding the Braisa, Ve'en Eretz Yisrael Chaseir Klum. Furthermore, want you to know, says the Braisa, the Eretz Yisrael is not missing anything. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lo sechsa koba, anything, nothing is missing there. So we see that pepper are considered fruit and are chayiv in Arla. So the Taisus Yom Kippurim asks, we're in the middle of learning a Gemara, a halacha. What's the status of pilpul regarding Arla, regarding Yom Kippur? Why does the Braisa include in the middle a Dvar Agoda that Yisrael is not missing anything? So he explains, the Braisa is teaching us not a Dvar Agoda. The Braisa is teaching us a Dvar Halocha. The Braisa is teaching us that every type of fruit is available in Yisrael. For if not every type of fruit is available in Yisrael, so how do we know that the pasuk is speaking about pilpulin? Perhaps pilpulin don't grow at all in Israel. And how would we know the halacha pilpulin? Therefore teaches us the Braisa, loisechsa kolbo. Nothing is missing at Yisrael. Pilpulin certainly grow in Yisrael. And therefore, that's what the pasuk must be coming to teach us. But we see that pilpulin is a edible fruit. Why does Rava say, if one eats pilpulin Yom Kippur, he's potter? Answers the Gemara, loikasha. Habri tvasa. Moist pepper berries are chayiv in Arla, and would have the same din. If somebody ate them on Yom Kippur, he would be chayiv. Habi Aveshta, dry pilpulin aren't chayiv in Arla, and one is not chayiv if he eats them on Yom Kippur, at least midaraisa. There's machlokes Rashi in Taisvis, why one would think that pilpulin are exempt from the din of Arla. Rashi says that since the pilpul tree is a small shrub, it doesn't grow up to a full-fledged tree, that's why one would think that it's a plant and not a tree, since it doesn't grow high, and therefore it's classified as a vegetable and it should be potter. Taisha says, since all, as we just explained, pilpulin are ultimately used when they're dried, they're used as a spice when they're dried, so I would think that that's their entire purpose, and even when they're moist, they're not considered a fruit. That's what the chiddush is, that pilpulin is, when it's moist, considered a fruit, chai ba'ala. So now the Gemara questions Rava's other ruling, that he discussed sangbele, pepper. Amle ravina l'meima, v'am rav nachman, hai himusa, this is a type of paste, the Austin Behindui that comes from Ethiopia, Sharia. There is no problem of Bishul Akum. The halach is that foods that are cooked by Goyim may not be eaten. Bishul Akum. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, there is no problem of Bishul Akum on this food because the halach is that anything that's Nechal, Kamay Shuchai, anything that can be eaten raw, the halacha of Bishul Akum doesn't apply to it. So this ginger, which could be eaten raw, therefore it's not a problem of Bishul Akum. But we see that it's a food and it's not even subject to Bishul Akum. Rashi asks, even if there's no problem of Bishul Akum, why is there no concern of Gilui Nachrim, that it comes from the equipment that comes from the vessels, the utensils of Goyim that give off taste. So Rashi says it's a nice and tamal b'gam. It gives off a foul taste into the. It doesn't mix well with this food, and therefore there is no problem of the taste. That's why there's no problem that the guy uses his utensils, his knife or whatever to cut it. Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, Haber Tivasa. With moist zangbele as a food, habayavesta, dried one is not a problem of food, and that's why it's not an issue. The Taisus Yom Kippurim asks, why does Rashi ask the question that there's a problem of gula nachrim, that it was cooked in a goy's pot? Why don't we say stam kelim ein bnei yoyman? We could assume that the keli wasn't used within the last 24 hours, and any taste that comes out from a keli that wasn't used for 24 hours, we consider pogum. Says the Taisus Yom Kippurim. From here, we see that Rashi does not subscribe to the concept of stam kelim ein bnei yoyman. Tan rabbanan, ochel alei kanim. If somebody ate the leaves of reeds on Yom Kippur, potter, it's not considered the edible food, and he's potter. The love of him, but he ate the shoots of the grapevine, he's chayiv, because they're considered fit for eating. Elohein lulove gefanim, what are lulove gefanim? Amr of Yitzhak the law, kol shalivlevu, rashan yom kippurim, any shoots that sprouted from shonim to Yom Kippur, if you eat them on Yom Kippur, it's considered a food, and you chayiv. Rav Kahana Amr, Rav Kahana says, kol shloshim yoyim, any shoots that sprouted within 30 days before Yom Kippur are considered edible. Tanya Kavasi, Rav Yitzhak Midalah, we learned like a brass of Yitzhak Midalah, Ochet Ali Gefanim Potter, the Lulei Gefanim is Chayiv, Elohim Lulei Gefanim, what are considered Lulei Gefanim, kol shalivlevu, anything that sprouted Mershonim Yom Kippur. We continued learning the Mishnah, Shasa Tzir Amurius, if somebody drank the fish sauce, whether it has pieces or it's oil of the fish, potter, because it's not considered potable. Hachoymitz, if one would drink vinegar, chayif. Masnisimani, who is the Tanava Mishnah who consider vinegar a full-fledged beverage? Rebbe. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, chaymitz meishivas and nefesh. Vinegar restores the souls, and therefore it could take away the thirst. It's a full-fledged drink. Dorish Rav Gidl Bar Menashe Mibiri Denarish. And Aloch Rebbe. He came and he said the Aloch is not like Rebbe. The Shana, the following year, Nofik Kula Alma Mozgu Vashasuchala. So he went and drank vinegar because they considered, since he said that the Aloch is not like Rebbe, and vinegar is not considered a drink, so it may be drunk on Yom Kippur. Shama Nofik Kula Alma Mozgu Vashasuchala. Everybody went out, mixed water into the vinegar, and drank the vinegar beverage. Shomer of Gödelvik, but he was upset. Omer, Eimer, Dani, the I only said the b'di'evid, if one drinks this beverage, it's not considered that he drank on Yom Kippur. L'chatchila ma'amri? Did I say l'chatchila you're allowed to drink this? Furthermore, aim at the amri ano, what did I say is permissible? Porta, a little vinegar. Tuva, to go drink a whole great amount of vinegar, mi amri, did I say is permissible? Furthermore, aim at the amri ano chai, when did I say this halacha? When it's pure vinegar. Mazug, when it's diluted, mi amri, did I say that it's mutter? And therefore, he was upset that he had drank the vinegar. And from here, the Shara Mitzion of Halacha teaches us that when a Rav says a psak, he should be so careful to explain what he means and what he doesn't mean, to avoid people from making error. The next Mishnah we learn discusses the Halacha of what should be done in terms of the Chinuch and teaching children about fasting on Yom Kippur. When should they, when shouldn't they fast? Says the Mishnah, Haktinoikis, Eim Ananois of Yom Kippurim. Children, we don't afflict them on Yom Kippurim to make them fast. Rashi and the Rambam have a machloikis how to understand these words. According to Rashi, the Mishnah is teaching us that children under the age that will be described in the Mishnah, we don't make them fast on Yom Kippur. However, according to the Rashi, if the child wants to fast, he may. The Rambam disagrees that, and he says that we don't allow a child under the age mentioned in the Mishnah to fast. The Mefarshim also say, why does the Mishnah use the word B'yom HaKippurim? It's to teach us that only on Yom Kippur is there a concept of chinuch and teaching children not to fast, but no other fast days is there a chiyuv to teach children to fast. However, the Tosfos Yom Kippurim does quote the Rambam Mipanu that says that even on other fast days we should teach children to fast. But there he says certainly the halacha is that the children do not have to fast the entire day. The Mefarshim also ask, why does the Mishnah say Hatanaikis Eima Ananoisam? We don't afflict them. We should say Hatanaikis Machilanoisam, that we should give them to eat. So Rav Yashiv answers that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that one would think that even if we're not gonna, if we're going to allow a child to eat, perhaps we should give him less to eat. Perhaps we shouldn't be the ones to feed him. Let him go eat himself. That's why the Mishnah teaches us Eima Ananoisam. We don't hold them back. We don't afflict them at all. They're allowed to eat in the normal way as they eat the whole year. Avol teaches us the Mishnah, Mechanchenoisan. We are Mechuyiv to be Mechanech them in fasting and Kippur, Lefnei Shonel, Lefnei Shetayim, either a year or 2 years before the Bar Mitzvah, Beshvil Shei Regilim Bar Mitzvahs, in order that they should be accustomed to doing mitzvahs. So Pashup Shad in the Mishnah, if we learn a year or two, it means a year before the bat mitzvah, or 2 years before the bat mitzvah by a girl, or a year or two before the bat mitzvah by a boy, we start trying to be mechanech them and fasting. However, we will learn in the Gemara that the Mishnah means something very different. Says the Gemara, Hashta, because the Gemara asks the question, Bifnei shtayim mechanechem lehu, if our Mishnah taught us that already 2 years before the bar or bas mitzvah were mechanech the children to fast, so certainly in front of before a year we should be mechanech them. Amar of chesda loikasha, there's no question. Ha b'chayla, there's a difference between a sick child and habibari and a healthy child. A healthy child starts 2 years before, and a sick child starts a year before. Now, in the discussion, what is considered a healthy or a sick child? Rashi says a sick child means kochosh v'tashkoich, somebody who's weak, a sickly child. The Meiri says it doesn't have to be a child who's actually sick. It's a child that isn't strong enough to fast. It doesn't have to be sick. And the Bach says that a child who learns Torah, even if he's a healthy child, Baruch Hashem, he's not considered healthy. We're concerned that he's not strong. And Mr. Brewer says that all of our children are indeed considered weak children. Om Rav Huna, Ben Shana, so says Rav Huna, Ben Shmoina Ben Teisha, a child that's 8 or 9 years old, Mechant Chanai Sagashos, we start teaching him to fast a number of hours of the day, Ben Esra Ben Achasre, 10 and 11, so Ben Rav Huna, as we will see in a moment, is speaking about a girl who becomes Bas Mitzvah when she's 12 years old. So Rav Huna teaches us, when she's 8 and 9 years old, we teach her to fast for a number of hours of the day. And when she's 10 and 11, Mashlim Madrabonan, she has to fast a whole day. Again, the difference between an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old is if she's healthy or not. Ben Shtei Mesrei, when she's 12 years old and she's a Bas Mitzvah, Mashlim Madaraisa, she has to fast the whole day Madaraisa. But tonight, all this refers to a girl. So we differentiate by, according to Rav Huna, there's 4 years before the Bas Mitzvah that we begin by a healthy child. 8 years old and 9 years old, she chinuch for a few hours a day of Yom Kippur. And the stipler asks that there's a klal in chinuch that when we are mechanech a child to do mitzvahs, we mechanech him to do the mitzvah properly. For example, if we are mechanech a child to take the dalem minim on sukkahs, the halacha is he has to use kosher set of dalem minim. So what's the point, asked the stipler, of being mechanech a child to fast a few hours in Yom Kippur? That's not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is fasting the whole days. So he answers that even on Yom Kippur, even though certainly the mitzvah is to fast the whole day, every moment of fasting is considered a full-fledged mitzvah. And since every moment is considered a full-fledged mitzvah, so even though the child may not end up fasting the whole day, that doesn't take away the fast of the hours that they actually fasted. The Pesukim can bring a raya from this Gemara that chinuch is not only applicable to boys, it's even applicable to girls, because our Mishnah, according to Rav Huna, is actually speaking about a girl and teaching us the chiyuv of chinuch on a girl to fast on Yom Kippur. In fact, Rav Moshe says in Digros Moshe that the halach is one may not pay tuition from his meiser money, because tuition is an obligation that a parent has to be mechanech his children to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, which is what the children learn in yeshivas. And Rav Moshe says not only is money that is paid for tuition for a boy's learning not to be paid for meiser money, he says the same based on our Gemara, money spent for the chinuch of a girl is not to be used for meiser money. The only thing Rav Moshe says that if the school is charging a very high tuition that is difficult for the parents to pay, that difference between what they can pay and what they feel they should pay, that can be used for meiser money. And the Prima Gadim asks, if, as we're learning, there's a chi of chinuch by girls like by boys, ask the Prima Gadim, why don't we make the bracha, a baruch shepatrani, manche shalzeh, when a girl becomes bas mitzvah, just like we make the bracha when a boy becomes bar mitzvah. And he answers that since a boy is mechuyiv in more mitzvahs than girls, that's why we make the bracha by a boy, but not by a girl. But that doesn't mean that there's no chiyiv of chinuch by boys. Rav Nachman, as all the Rishonim explain, agrees with Rav Huna. Whereas Rav Huna was speaking about a girl, Rav Nachman is going to be speaking about a boy who is bar mitzvah when he's 13 years old. And therefore he says, Ben Teisha Ben Eser, a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old boy, we start teaching him to fast a few hours in the day, Ben Achasrei, Ben Shtei Masrei, and when he's 11 and 12, Meshlim with Rabbanon, he has to fast the whole day of Yom Kippur with Rabbanon, Ben Shloish Asrei, and when he becomes bar mitzvah, Meshlim with the Reis, he has to fast the whole day. And this is, as we said, talking betinik by a boy. Rav Yochanan, however, disagrees with Rav Huna of Nachman, and he holds that Ashlamad Rabban Aleka, there is never a child who's not yet bar mitzvah who's mechuyev to fast a whole day, even drabbanan. And therefore he holds ben esser, when he's 10 and 11, mechanchon shalishos, we start training him for a few hours in the day. B'shteim esrei, when he becomes 12, mashlim deraisa, the girl has to finish fasting, that's by girl, and by boy everything is a year later, 11 and 12, based off the child health situation, and by 13, he has to fast because he's a bar mitzvah. As we go further in the Gemara, there are many different girsos in learning the Gemara, and moreover, we have to say one more explanation in the Gemara. We will, of course, learn the Gemara like Rashi, though, as I said, many Rishonim disagree with Rashi. And Rashi now tells us that the Gemara, that the Mishnah, when it used the word Lefnei Shana, or Lefnei Shnatayim, which we explained means a year before the Bar or Bas Mitzvah, or Lefnei Shnatayim, a year or two before, 2 years, Lefnei Shnatayim means 2 years before the Bar or Bas Mitzvah, says Lefnei Shana means a year before the year before the Bar Mitzvah or Bas Mitzvah, and Lefnei Shnatayim means 2 years before the year before Bar Mitzvah. In other words, Lefnei Shana would really mean 2 years before the Bar or Bas Mitzvah. Lefnei Shnatayim would mean 3 years before the Bar or Bas Mitzvah. And the Mefarshim discuss, why does the Mishnah say this? And the Mefarshim explain, because the year before the Bar Mitzvah, the child is considered already so close to the Bar Mitzvah that it has a different status, and that's why the Mishnah used this terminology. This is what the Mishnah meant when it said Lefnei Shana, Lefnei Shnatayim. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Hatanoikis Eimanus Yom Kippur, we don't make the children have Inu Yom Kippur, Av Mechanchon HaSel Lefnei Shana, Lefnei Shnatayim, which we just explained means either 2 or 3 years before the Bar Bas Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Huna Rav Nachman, according to Rav Huna Rav Nachman on the Psak, Lefnei Shana, Lefnei Shnatayim, how will we explain Lefnei Shnatayim? Lefnei Shana Devrayim, we train a sick child to fast for part of the day 2 years before they must fast the entire day according to the Rabbonin. Lefnei Shtayim L'Divrei Torah, and that is the equivalent of 3 years, because we said Shtayim means 3 years, before they have to fast the entire day Midaraisa. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman hold that we begin training a sick child to fast part of the day 3 years before they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah, and that they fast the entire day 1 year before they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah. So, at the age which the training begins, it's 2 years before he has to fast the entire day Midrabanan, and it's 3 years before he has to fast the entire day Midaraisa. So that means, for example, by a girl who's sick, she has to fast part of the day by 9 years old, and when she's 11, which is 2 years later, she fasts the whole day with Rabbanon, and then when she's 12, she fasts the whole day with the Raisa. The same could be applied to a boy. Ella asked the Gemara to Rav Yochanan Kasha, but according to Rav Yochanan, who says that children are never mechuyev mid Rabbanon to complete the fast, so he can't say that the two times mentioned in Mishnah refer to the same age, just looking at it from a different perspective, from the perspective of, is it 2 years before he has to fast Midrabanan, and it's 3 years before he has to fast Midaraisa. Nor could Rabbi Yochanan explain the Mishnah like Rav Chisda did, that the 2 year training period applies to a sick child, and the 3 year period applies to a healthy child, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, a sick child is only trained for 1 year, and a healthy child is only trained for 2 years. And the way we're explaining our Mishnah, it's 3 years and 2 years. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan explains, Eima Shana Shatayim, we should learn the Mishnah like we actually did learn the Mishnah. Shana Shatayim, some of the Pirkin, a year or two before the Bar Bas Mitzvah. And the Mishnah is teaching us that 2 years before the Bar Bas Mitzvah by a healthy child, and 1 year before by a sick child, to begin the process of training him. La'aloch l'maisa, there's a machloikis, who do we paskin like? And the Ramah says, the Ramah quotes a Trumas Hadeshin, that a child that's weak and can't fast, we should certainly hold like Rabbi Yochanan, and should not fast the entire day before his bar or bas mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays all children are considered weak, and that's why there is no chiv midrabbanan for children to fast the entire day on Yom Kippur. Toshma. So now the Gemara asks the kasha of Huna Rav Nachman. The Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel Tanoikis Eim Ananai Sam Yom Kippurim. We don't make the children have Inu Yom Kippur. We train them a year or two before the Bar Bas Mitzvah. Bishlan Rabbi Yochanan, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, that either a year by a sick child or 2 years before by a healthy child, we train them to start fasting. El Rav Huna or Rav Nachman Kasha, according to Rav Huna Rav Nachman, who said that the training period, even for a sick child, doesn't begin less than 3 years before the Bar Bas Mitzvah, the Braisa is a problem. Amlech Rabbanon, my Hinech Nam Detani, what is the Hinech that the Braisa refers to? It refers to Hashlama. It refers to completing the fast. And there, that will agree with Rav Huna Rav Nachman said, that a sick child is only Mechuyif to finish the fast 1 year before the Bar Bas Mitzvah, and a healthy child finishes the fast 2 years before the Bar Bas Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, could that be pshat in the Braisa? Umikari lechinuch hashlama? Does the word chinuch apply to the word hashlama? Chinuch means that we're training them, but they're not finishing the fast. For Tanya, the Gemara brings a proof to that. Ezo chinuch, what does chinuch mean? Hayrog alechel b'shtei shos. If the child was used to eating 2 hours in the day, machilon esel b'shos. We give him to eat in the third hour of the day. B'sholosh, we used to eat in the third day. Out in the day, machilon esel b'arbi, eats in the fourth hour of the day. So, how are we going to explain the brice according to them? Amrav ravul trei chinuch echav. There are two types of chinuch. Chinuch can mean fasting for a certain amount of hours, but chinuch also can mean that he fasts the entire day, and that's how we will explain the Brice according to Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, that the Brice is teaching us chinuch of fasting the whole day, depending on the health of the child, it's a year or two before the Bar Bas Mitzvah. Teaches us the Mishnah. Ubra Sharicha, if a pregnant woman smells food or drink on Yom Kippur, Machilan, so we give it to eat, Achatosh of Nafsha, until she feels relieved. There's a machloikis rishonim. What could, under what circumstances we give a pregnant woman to eat? Is it only if she feels that she's in danger? Or even if the child, she's not in danger, but even the child? The Ramban says that it's even the child that is in danger. Even if she's not in danger, we give her to eat. The Rosh, interestingly enough, says he can't understand the other Rishonim. He says if the child is in danger, automatically the mother is in danger. And Ramban also says that even if the fetus is less than 40 days old, still for a fetus that young, we could give her to eat. Chayla, if there's a person who's sick on Yom Kippur, Machilan Isai Apibakiyim, we give him to eat based on what the experts say. There's a machloikis harishonim to understand what the word bikim means. Rashi explains bikim means that you need two doctors. The Rambam says bikim is not talking about the quantity of doctors. Bikim rather, he means, says the expert doctors. And Meril Diskin says, how do we know who is an expert doctor? Says the Meril Diskin, the doctor who the world assumes and identifies as an expert doctor is the one to be considered the expert doctor on Yom Kippur. Vim ain't shambikim. However, if there are no experts available, Mechilan Oysa al pi atzmoy, we follow what the sick person says, Atshe Medai, until he says he had enough food. Tana Rabbanan teaches us the Brice. Ubra Sharicha Basa Kaidish Basa Chazir, if a woman who's pregnant smelled the meat that's from Kaidish from the Mizbeach, or Basa Chazir, or pork, Taich. So before we go further, the Rifarshim ask that we learned in Masech the Ovis, Asora Nisim Nasim Lavasenim Vesem Migdash. There were 10 Nisim that happened. And one of the Nisim, the Mishnah says, is Lohipila Isha Mereach Basra Kodesh, that a woman was never adversely affected from the smell of the meat. So what's Pshat? So the Rabbi Yoshev quotes the Achroinim who say that meat that was actually put on the Mizbeach never caused a woman this appetite that she would have to eat. However, meat that was Kodesh but was not burnt on the Mizbeach, meat that was disqualified to be put on the Mizbeach, or meat that was designated for the Kahanim, could cause a woman this appetite. Teaches us the price, what do? Toichim loy kush b'roitav. We take a stick, and we put it into the soup in which the prohibited food was cooked, and we put it on her mouth. Im nishyash v'data, if she feels good this way, mutav, great. Mlav, we give it a soup. And if that relieves her, mutter fine. Mlav, we give it a prohibited food. There's nothing in halacha that stands in the way of saving a life. These three averus that we know a person is never allowed to do. The Taisus Yom Kippurim asks that we know that the halacha is the tam ki'ikr, that the taste of something has the same taste of something prohibited has the same din as something that is actually prohibited. So what's the difference if we give it a soup or we give it a meat? So the Taisus Yom Kippurim says that our Gemara, our Braisa here is going according to the man, the Omer, that holds the Tam is not Ki'ikr Midaraisa, and that's why it's better to give it a soup than the actual meat. Rav Yosher says that even according to the man, the Omer, the Tam is Ki'ikr is also Midaraisa, there's a difference. The prohibition on the actual meat is stated explicitly in the Torah, and therefore one should be more machmer on that versus Tam Kikr, which even if it's awesome in the Raisa, is not stated explicitly in the Torah. So when faced with this question, what to give the sick person, certainly we should give them first the food that's only awesome because of Tam Kikr. The Ramban, however, points out that this halacha of doing it in this way, akala kal tchila, giving it the lesser issa first, is only if that is not against the doctor's orders. If the doctor prescribed that the food should be eaten in big measures, then no question should be asked, and one should follow Tam Kikr. So our Gemara now teaches us there are only three mitzvahs where halacha is Yoharig Val Yavar, Avodah Zarah, Gilurai, Shvichas Damim. There's a Machlokes Rishonim. If a person may be machmer and be prepared to be maisa nefesh for other mitzvahs, the Rambam and Ramban hold that only three mitzvahs is a person allowed to be maisa nefesh, no other mitzvahs. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says that for all mitzvahs one could be maisa nefesh. The Nemuki Yosef says that even the Rosh's Kula only applies to somebody who is a Talmud Chacham and a great Yerushimayim. Otherwise, a person should not be Maisa Nefesh by other mitzvahs. And the Gros says that the only time one has a right by other mitzvahs to be Maisa Nefesh is if the people who are making him be over the Aveira are doing it because Lahadri Aldas, they want to persecute the religion. But if the guy or the person who's forcing the Jew to do these averus are not doing it for that purpose, then there's never a right to be Maisa Nefesh by other mitzvahs. The Maril Diskin asks, he says, though we know, the Gemara says, that Shabbos is like Avodah Zarah. Shkula Shabbos k'Avodah Zarah. So why isn't Shmira Shabbos one of the mitzvahs that one has to be Maisa Nefesh for? So the Maril Diskin answers that because if one would do a malach on Shabbos because he was forced to do it, it would be a malach and tzrich legufa, so it's not really being mechayel Shabbos anyway. Says the Gemara, avoid the zora minolan. Where do we know that one should be ready to be maisa nefesh versus serving, worshipping avoid the zora? The Tanya. Rabbi Elazar Oimer. Rabbi Elazar says, it says in the parasha of Krishna, b'chol nafshcha v'chol ma'itcha. Asks Rabbi Elazar, im nem b'chol nafshcha. If the Torah said b'chol nafshcha, lam nem b'chol ma'idecha, what does the Torah say with all your resources? Vim nem b'chol ma'idecha, lam nem b'chol nafshcha. Teaches us Rabbi Elazar, im yesh lecha adam shechav alav memoinoi, and this shegufa chav alav memoinoi, person who likes his body more, it's more precious to them than his money, chan nam v'chol nafshcha, they should be ready to give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to serve Avodah Zarah. Im yesh lecha adam shememoinoi chav alav megufoi, if you have a person whose money is more precious than his body, lekach nam v'chol moitcha, he has to give up all his money to serve Hashem and not serve Avodah Zarah. So the Sfas Emes asks, the point that we're trying to teach, that giving up one's life, the giving up one's life should be, one should give up his life and not serve Avodah Zarah, is taught from the words B'chol Nafshecha. So why does the Gemara have to also quote what Rabbi Elazar said regarding B'chol Ma'idecha? So the Sfas Emes answers that B'chol Nafshech, if I only had the word b'chol nafshecha, I would perhaps think that it's optional. A person has to give, do everything, not to serve avodah zarah. But when faced with dilemma, should give up his life or not? Maybe they're equal, his life to serving Hashem. That's why the Bryce answers b'chol ma'idecha. All of your resources should be applied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the most precious resource, which is your life. The Mefarshim, the Paiskim say that not only for Avodah Zarah or Gilui Arayos itself must one be prepared to give up his life, but even for the Avizrayu. Avizrayu means the not the part of the the attendant. Like by Gilui Arayos, they say it includes Yichud, or anything that's close, but not even the actual Avera, one should give up his life. Moreover, the Shach says that even if one isn't actually faced with dilemma, but he's concerned that he's being put into a situation where he may have to serve Avodah Zarah, he's already allowed to put up, already allowed to give his life up, and should perhaps give up his life if he feels that he won't be able to be Oymed bin Nisayim. Gilui Arayos v'Shvichas Dam Minolam. How do we know that Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Dam Minolam wants to give up his life versus doing those Averis? The Tanya, Rabbi Oymer. The Pasuk says, regarding the rape of a Naru Marosa, Ki Keshiyokim Ish Al Re'yu V'Rotzchoy Nefesh, like a man who goes to kill someone else, Ken Hadover Azeh. V'chima Inyu Lomadnu, Miritzeich L'Naru Marosa. The Pasuk is comparing the situation of somebody chasing a Naru Marosa to Ritzeach. What is there to learn from Ritzeach to Mar Marosa that the Pasuk is comparing them? Al Areza Bol Alamed, the Pasuk is coming to teach something about a Nar Marosa, the Nimtza Lamed. But in fact, it was found to be teaching to be the subject of what we learned. To teach us, Ma Nar Marosa, just like by Nar Marosa, the Aloch is Nitin Latzila B'Nafshoi. If we see somebody chasing a girl, Chas V'Shalom, to rape her, we could kill the pursuer. Afritzeach nitin l'tzila b'nafshay. If we see somebody chasing to murder someone else, we could kill him. Maritzeach. And now we go the other way. Maritzeach yoharig val yavar. Just by ritzeach, if someone is told that he has to commit murder, he should rather allow himself to be killed versus committing murder. Afnar marasa, same thing in nar marasa. Yahari Vilyava, somebody should allow himself to be killed and not conduct adultery or conduct Gilui Arayis. Tosfos points out that the act of Gilui Arayis that the Gemara here is referring to, that one has to be able, has to give up his life, is only referring to active part of Gilui Arayis, which refers to the male. But if a woman is being, if a woman is having relations, that she's not the active participant, she is not mechuyif to give up her life. And in fact, Tosfos says the same thing, the same halacha would be if, although we learned, and we're going to explain it in a moment, how we know that then, that if someone has to give up his life versus murdering someone else, but let's say he won't actively murder the victim. He'll just stand and he'll be, let's say, pushed down on someone else. And by him being pushed down on the other person, that other person will be crushed and killed. Since he's not actively doing anything, he will not be considered, he's not mechuyev under those circumstances to give up his life. There's a machloikus, Reb Chaim Brisker and the Chazon Ish, in the situation where one just was pushed down on someone else, and that way he killed that person that he fell on, is he considered a Ritzayach or not? Reb Chaim Brisker says he's not even considered a Ritzayach. Chazon Ish seems to feel that he is considered a Ritzayach. Ask the Gemara of Ritzayach Gufa Manola, how do we know that a Ritzayach is a person not supposed to give up his life versus murdering someone else? There was someone that came to Rav Amalei and he said to him, Amalei Maru Deroy, the governor of my town told me, Katla Planya, kill that person. If you like, and if you won't, Katilna Lach, I will kill you. Amalei Nitalach, let him kill you. If you like Tikkal, and don't kill anyone else. Because my chaz is the dam le dach sumut tfei, why is your blood redder than the blood of your victim? Dilma Damada, who gavra sumut tfei, perhaps his blood is more redder. Who are you to say that your life is more precious than his life, and therefore you shouldn't give up, you don't have to give up your life? And in fact, the Karban Nisanal uses this logic to teach us that even in a situation of pikuach nefesh, a person doesn't have to give up his life to enter into a dangerous procedure to help the person who's so sick, because why is his life, on the other hand, more valuable than your life? There's an interesting tshuva, not to be taken la'loch la'maisa, it should never be negated anyway, that Rav Moshe Paskind regarding Siamese twins that were born connected, and they were connected near the heart, and the heart of one child was in better shape than the heart of the other child. It had more chambers and it worked better. And there was a question that these twins had to be separated. The doctor said they could not survive while they were connected, and which was the child to save? And Rav Moshe says that you should save the child with a better heart, because he says our Gemara, he says, is referring when we have two individuals that are both the same, both healthy individuals, and the question is, why save one over the other? But in such a circumstance, says Rav Moshe, where one is clearly healthier than the other, that's the child to be saved. There were Paiskim that disagreed. The Mishnah, the Gemara now goes back to what we learned in the Mishnah about the pregnant woman who has a craving for food on Yom Kippur. Who ubered the urcha? There was a woman that had a smell for food on Yom Kippur. Osl kamei the Rebbe, they came to Rebbe and they told her, Amul tala zilul chushla di Yom Kippur hu. Go whisper to her that's Yom Kippur. And like the Mefarshim point out, by a sick person, who has a craving for something that's not kosher, there is no point in saying this, because that person is sick and has the craving. Here, however, by telling her it's Yom Kippur, and by tonight you'll be allowed to eat, perhaps that will cause her for the craving to subside. And that actually what happened. They whispered to her, and she accepted the whisper, and this craving subsided. Karela, they said regarding her, the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, "Beterem etzreich, bebetni yedatich." Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You already showed Yerushalayim. The fetus showed Yerushalayim already in the womb. And nafik mina Rabbi Yochanan, and taka, the child that was born was actually Rabbi Yochanan. I hear over the aruch, but there was another situation where there was a woman who was pregnant, they had a craving Yom Kippur. Osla Kamed Rav Chanina, they came to Rav Chanina, Amalu L'chushala, whispered to her, it's Yom Kippur. And the Meiri says that when you whisper to her that Yom Kippur, you can tell her that we maftiach you, that we tell you confidently that if you won't eat, you'll be fine. L'chushala, they did that. V'lo yilchushala, she didn't accept it. She even continued. Karla, Rabbi Chanina said regarding this woman, Zoru Rishoyim Mirochem, that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, the wicked are already wicked from when they're in the womb. And Nafik Minah Shapsa, Aitzapari, and Taka Shapsi, who was a hoarder of produce, who tried to raise the price of produce, was the one that was born. Mefarshim point out, what is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Shapsai? Rabbi Yochanan was a person who cared for others. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 children, and he used to go be Menachem Ovel, the people who will lose children. He cared about others, and just like his mother cared, whereas Shapsai didn't care about others, and that's because he had that from his mother, who didn't care, just had to eat and couldn't control herself on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yoshev asks that we know that the Medrash says that a child's Yetzer Hara only comes when he's born. So how could this child already have Zoru Rishoyim Mirochem? So he says from here we see that a child already has a Yetzer Hara from when he's in his mother's womb. It just doesn't have that influence until it's born. The Chazdi Ovis, based on this Gemara, explains a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "L'havdil ben ha-tar or tar, to differentiate between tar and tamei, ben ha-chaya nacheles v'chayish en nacheles." So he explains pshat in the pasuk. L'havdil, if you want to be able to differentiate and see ben ha-tamei l'tar, if the child born will be tamei, will be chas v'sham tamei, will be tar, will be a fine child. How do you tell? Ben achaya necheles or ben achaya she'ena necheles. If when his mother was a chay, when his mother was pregnant, was she necheles? Was she not able to subdue her craving and she ate on Yom Kippur? That child will be tamei or ben achaya she'ena necheles. The pregnant woman who was able to control her craving and not eat on Yom Kippur, that child is tahar.